you think about that word radical? Misunderstood today, isn't it? What do you think when I say radical? Fanatical? Extremist? Might connect it with terrorism? Some extreme position politically, religiously? Brings all kinds of things to mind in our culture today. It means over the top, excessive, whatever area that we apply to it. But actually, the word radical comes from a 14th century Latin word, radicalis, and what it actually means is from the root. That's the original meaning of the word. So radical, in its true meaning, means from the root, deep down, if you will, rooted in the original. So radicalis, radical, means to have root. So what we need today are radical believers. You need radical change in your life. Not fanatical believers, not extremists. Radical believers who go back to the New Testament, back to the Bible, back to what God intended for us to be in the first place. Radical change. Without all the trappings, all the traditions, all the rules, all the regulations, all the restrictions, all the things that man has added. To go back to the words of Jesus, to be a radical believer, and I want you to be that kind of believer. Rooted, rooted in God, rooted in love, rooted in faith, rooted in hope, radicalis. The Bible has a lot to say about that. You see it on your message outline there, Colossians 2. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to Him. Let your roots grow down deep into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. Ephesians 3. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand how wide, long, high, deep His love really is. May you experience this love. In other words, not just, oh yeah, I know God loves me. I've been taught that. I sing that. May you experience it. May you feel it at a gut level. May it be so down deep, a part of the root of you, that you experience daily, you really feel loved by God unconditionally. It becomes a part of who you are, that no matter what happens in my life, how short I fall, or how false, no matter how much I disappoint myself in God, I understand that God will love me regardless. Matthew 13, Jesus speaking. They don't have deep roots, so they don't last very long. As soon as life gets hard, like a recession, a depression, a job loss, a home foreclosure, on it goes, Jesus says, as soon as life gets hard or the message gets them in trouble, they give up. Have you ever felt like giving up? We all experience that at some point in our lives. But consistently, over time, whenever you feel like giving up means your roots perhaps aren't as deep as they need to be. Your spiritual roots aren't radicalis, radical enough, sunk down deep. They're not grown into the soil of God's love enough to keep you through those times. And so Jesus contrasts the person who has no roots as he wilts, he withers whenever problems, trials, troubles, temptations come our way. And he says, now contrast that with a person who has deep roots. The Jeremiah passage, 17. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. In other words, my confidence isn't in my job. My confidence isn't in my marriage. My confidence isn't in other people. My confidence is in the Lord. I trust in Him. So it says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, have made Him their hope and confidence. And then he uses this beautiful metaphor. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. And then he says, there's four things in this metaphor about you and I, people like this, who our roots are deep into the water. He says, they're not bothered by heat. They're not worried about long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they go right on producing delicious fruit no matter what happens. God says, I want that to be true of your life. I want that to be true of my life. That no matter what happens, highs, lows, ups, down, recession, times of plenty, I go right on living a productive life. I am unshaken because my roots go down deep. So in this Jeremiah verse, God is talking about you. He says there's four things. If you and I develop these spiritual roots, four things that will be true in our lives. And you see them in that passage. Number one, when the heat's on, you don't wilt. Number two, he said, not only that, but they're not worried by drought. So people who have deep, believers who have deep spiritual roots, aren't worried about years and years of recession because their source of hope is not in their job, not in the economy, not in the stock market, but my roots in the love of God, and the drought's on, I'm not worried about it. Why? Because my source of nutrition and nourishment and strength and hope and trust, my refreshment is coming from the river that my deep roots are tapping into and not from the rain, and we don't know when it's going to rain again. He says you're not shackled by circumstances because your roots are down deep. He says your leaves stay green year-round. You're an evergreen. You don't dry up in the winter and fall. In fact, you keep producing fruit, he says. That's what God wants for you. He says, I want you to be productive year-round to produce fruit, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter whether it's drought or wet. What is the fruit he's talking about? Galatians 5, 22, 23, nine qualities, spiritual fruits, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Those are the things I want in my life. Those are the things God says he wants in your life. I want to be more joyful. I want to be more at peace. I want to be overflowing with patience. Spiritual fruit. So how do you know when you see somebody who has deep spiritual roots? It's real simple. You can see the fruit, Jeremiah says. So here's the equation. No roots equal no fruit. Great passage, 2 Kings. 2 Kings 19:30. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. King named Hezekiah, king of Israel. Everything is going wrong for him. And particularly what's going wrong is this large enemy nation of Syria with this huge army is about to come in. They're about to annihilate them and uproot Israel. And King Hezekiah, he's devastated. He goes to the temple of God. He lays prostrate. And he says, God, you've got to help me out. And God speaks through his prophet Isaiah, and this is what he says. It's a wonderful promise. The surviving remnant, those who make it through these tough years of recession, depression, those who make it through wars, saying the surviving remnant, in other words, those who survive when Syrian army attacks, the surviving remnant of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. That is my prayer for you, that you and I will take root downward and we will bear fruit upward. That's my prayer for this church, the remnant, that we will take root downward. We will be rooted deeper in God's love and faith and hope. And the result is we will be more productive. There will be more fruit upward in our lives. Colossians 2:7. Sink your roots into him. This is talking about Christ. Sink your roots into him and build on him. Be strengthened by the faith you were taught, and overflow with thanksgiving. Note that, overflow with thanksgiving. The first characteristic of deep roots. How do you know when someone has those deep spiritual roots? You see it in your outline there, continuous gratitude. The first attribute that you're not shallow, you're not superficial, you're not depending on the rain because you're tapped into the river, that you have deep spiritual roots is you're continually grateful, overflowing, it says, with thanksgiving. So he says, thanksgiving is not a day that we celebrate once a year. It's to be the habit. It's to be the lifestyle of a radical believer. So if I have deep roots, the deeper I understand God's love, the more grateful I'm going to be, and that should overflow with thanksgiving. So what does it mean to be radically grateful? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the definition of radical gratitude. This is it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now that's radical gratitude. He says, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And by the way, I love Paul's meditation. Here's a little side note on what he said. In the original Greek there, look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, give thanks. In fact, we sang a song about it. That Greek word is eucharistio. And eucharistio in the original Greek is where we get our English word Eucharist. And so you may have called it the Eucharist or communion or the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, whatever it might be. But Eucharist simply means give thanks. And so what was it that we just did at the Lord's Supper? We gave thanks, as Paul said, for the blood and the life that covered our sins. We give thanks. The Lord's Supper simply means do this in remembrance of me. Eucharist, give thanks for salvation, forgiveness, home in heaven, all of these things. That's what we did, what 1 Thessalonians says. But notice in that verse, look at it a little closer. Give thanks, Eucharistio, give thanks in. And then it says all. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Look at that. It says give thanks in. Big difference. You don't have to be thankful for the bad in your life, and sometimes life stinks. You don't have to be thankful for the evil that Satan brings in your life, and there is plenty of evil in the world. The Bible says you do not have to be thankful for that stuff. Doesn't say thank God for, it says thank God in. Big difference. Why can I thank God in every circumstance that life throws my way? Number of reasons. I know God is in control. I know God can bring good out of evil. I know God has my best interests at heart. I know even the stupid mistakes I make, God can turn it around. I know that I'm not going to have to live on earth forever. I know that I'm going to go to heaven one day. I know that no matter what happens, God will never stop loving me. I could think of 100 things to be thankful for in circumstances, even when the circumstance stinks, and that's why it says for everything, not in everything. Why is that true? No, Ephesians says it. Why is it always God's will for my life that whatever happens, whatever comes my way, whatever circumstance, I am to give thanks in the circumstance? Not for the circumstance, but in. Look at your outline. One, because it honors God. Gratitude honors God. For instance, I say to Victoria, honey, thank you for that great Thanksgiving dinner you made for the senior saints, that you made for our family. When I thank her, when I am saying that, I just honored my wife. I could say to you, thank you on this Lord's Day for honoring him and collectively worshiping him and coming to another service. I am honoring you. Anytime you express gratitude, you honor that person. This is what the Bible says about God. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. So when you sacrifice, what are you sacrificing? You're giving thanks, you're giving your time, your money, your thoughts, your worship, the fruit of your lips. You need to learn to thank God not just for what he does, but for who he is. God, I thank you that you're smarter than me. I thank you that your wisdom is greater. I thank you because I know you will make me happy more than anything I could do. I thank you that you're consistent when I'm consistent. I thank you for your love, for your mercy, that you're always fair. I thank you that even when I don't understand what's going on, I know you have my best interest at heart. That's thanking God for who he is. That's getting beyond, thank you, God, for this food. Thank you, God, for getting me into this class. Thank you, God, for getting me this job. That is digging your roots deeper, honoring God, developing the attitude of gratitude. Look at number two. Second thing, why is gratitude God's will? Because it creates fellowship. Gratitude always builds deeper relationships, not only horizontally with each other, with other people, but also vertically between us and God. So whoever you want to get closer to, you start expressing gratitude to that person. The Bible says this. Encourage one another and build each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. I want to encourage you. Be more intentional about this verse. Be more intentional about expressing gratitude to people. This week, write some notes, send some text messages, some emails, whatever it is, tell people how grateful you are for who they are, not what they do, who they are, and it will bring us closer together. Third reason why it's God's will, to be radically grateful, it develops my faith. Now, how does that happen? Well, it happens when times are tough, when things don't make sense, when I can't figure it out, when my prayers seem like they're going unanswered, when life stinks, when everything is going the way I don't want it to go, and yet I can thank God in that circumstance because, God, I know you're in control. I know that you love me. I know that you're going to bring good out of this. You can turn one faucet off and one faucet on, and I am thanking you for that. That is an evidence of trust, of deeper roots. Anybody can thank God for the plenty. Anybody can thank God for the good things. But what this verse is saying is that even in bad things, your roots can go deeper because you are to give thanks for God, not for, but in. There's a guy in the Bible, funny name, Habakkuk. I always like to bring these little guys from the little books in the Bible kind of out in the forefront from the Old Testament. Because one day you're going to be in heaven, and some guy's going to walk up to you, and he's going to say, "Hey, I'm Habakkuk. How'd you like my book?" And I don't want you to look like a doofus and say, "Mr. Habakkuk, I didn't even know you had a book in the Bible." So I want to make sure that these guys and these little books, when you get to heaven, you're not embarrassed. And when Habakkuk walks up to you, you can say, "Oh, Mr. Habakkuk, I loved what you said there in chapter 3. That was really good." And here's what he said. He's going through tough times, and he says this. "Even though the fig trees have no fruit and no grapes are growing on the vine, even though the olive crop failed, even though the fields produce no grain," in other words, the banks have failed, the stock market has crashed, my 401k is a 101k, I don't have a job, I'm losing my home, you fill in the blanks. He says, even though all of that, even though the sheep are all dying, the cattle stalls are empty, even though all of this is happening, I will still, he says, I will still be joyful and glad. Why? He's not thanking God for the bad things that have gone wrong. He's not thanking God for those things. What's the cause of his gratitude? I will be joyful and glad, here it is, because the Lord is my Savior. Everything else in my life stinks, he says, but I can be grateful because the Lord, Jehovah God he's talking about, is my Savior. He will pull me out. He will bring me through this. That is the ultimate test of your faith. Can you thank God when life stinks? That is the test of whether you're a shallow Christian or you have deep roots. Whether you've got deep spiritual roots tapped into the river or just superficial ones waiting for the rain. Can you thank God even when life stinks and everything is going wrong? God's will is radical gratitude. Why? It honors God. It creates fellowship. It develops faith. And then look at number 4. It serves others. Radical gratitude, this attitude, says, I'm going to walk through life and I am going to be grateful in every situation, not for, in every situation, no matter what, times of plenty, times of tightness, times of good, times of bad, times of right, times of wrong. Whatever it is, I'm just going to be grateful. He says it actually serves others. It becomes a minister. Each one of you are a minister. Each one of you has a ministry, and this is a beautiful one. It means we're to serve other people. We're saved to serve. You can have a ministry of appreciation. So the ministry of appreciation raises value of other people. That's why God calls this radical gratitude a ministry. And you can go around making a ministry of raising the value of people simply by appreciating them. Some of you may disagree with this. Some of you may not believe this. But you and I have an unqualified need to be affirmed, to be loved, to be appreciated. And so does everybody else. It's our human nature. If you want to be used by God, here's a little secret. Affirm everybody. Appreciate everybody. Show gratitude to everybody. In fact, the Bible says this: do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. In other words, critical, complaining, negative, cynical, sarcastic, always putting other people down. Don't let that stuff come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. See, you need to talk about not what tears people down, but what builds them up according to their needs that it may benefit, not you, but those who listen. That is the ministry of affirmation. That's why radical gratitude is God's will. It honors God, creates fellowship, brings you closer to people, develops faith, serves other people. Then finally, there's a fifth one. Look at that. It's a witness to unbelievers. The Bible says that you as believers, we are to live, winsome is the word, we are to live in such a way as to be attractive. We want to make the truth about God attractive. How do we do that? Live in such a way that the truth about God is attractive in what others see in your life. Do we do that? Do people look at my life? Do they look at your life? And do they say, I want to know more about your God because of who you are? What gives with that person? She's never complaining. He's never cynical. They're always grateful. He's always positive. I'd like to be that guy. I'd like to be that woman. Do we do that? How do we make the truth of God more attractive? Philippians 2, radical gratitude. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Do everything without arguing? Come on. Do everything without complaining? Be serious. Holy guacamole, how do you do something like that? How in the world do you do that one? And yet that would change the world. That would bring millions of people to Christ. Not our protest signs, but our gratitude. Christians should be known for radical love, radical kindness, radical joy, radical gratitude, and there's a word for it. Christ-like. Problem is, we're not doing a very good job of this in our culture. We really aren't. Recent survey of Americans nationwide under 30, and they said, how do you view evangelical Christians? Here were the results. 91%, number one answer, anti-homosexual. 87%, evangelicals are judgmental. 85%, they're hypocritical. 78%, they're old-fashioned. 75%, they're too involved in politics. 72%, out of touch with reality. 70%, insensitive to others. 68%, boring. We're not doing a very good job of representing Jesus, being winsome, making the truth of God attractive to others, unbelievers, in their eyes. Why? Because we're not radically loving, we're not radically kind, we're not radically compassionate. In fact, oftentimes we're really no different than anybody else. What we need is a radical change in the way we act like Christ, to have those roots that are so deep, and that's what the church needs to be known for. Proverbs 11:11, you see it there. Good people bless and build up their city, but the wicked destroy it with their word. Good people build up their city, but the wicked tear it down, it says. How do you destroy a city with words? Negativity, criticism, complaining, griping, all those things. So the Bible says good people build up a city. What if everyone in the church, what if everyone in this church this week set a goal? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's five times a day. Maybe it's five times a week. But what if we said, you know, this week I am going to express gratitude, radical gratitude, and with my ministry of affirmation, appreciation, to every person I see. I'm not talking about other believers. I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking particularly unbelievers. But I'm talking about people in the grocery line. I'm talking about people in the post office. I'm talking about the clerk when you're Christmas shopping that's upset because the person right before you was so cranky. Four personal benefits. See them on your outline from developing this radical gratitude. Four things that will happen. If you show gratitude in every circumstance, four things that will happen in your life. First, it keeps me in God's will. You won't have to doubt whether you're in God's will or not because you will be in the sweet spot of it. If you're giving thanks for God in every situation, not for, in every situation, you don't have to doubt you're in the center of God's will. Two, it makes me better, not bitter. Particularly when times are tough like they are now. If I have this attitude of gratitude in every situation, no matter what comes my way, it will make me better, not bitter. Three, the third benefit of radical gratitude. It defeats the devil. Defeats the devil. How does that work? The devil loves to mess you up. He's got your number. He knows your buttons. He likes to get you angry, upset, irritated, depressed, discouraged, jealous, greedy, envious, lustful. He likes to do all of these different things. That's his number one job. What does Satan not like you to do? What he hates for you to do is thank God. He cannot stand to hear you thank God. What he hates for you to do is worship and praise God. So if he does something in your life to hurt you, to mess you up, and in spite of that hard time, you thank God and praise God in that circumstance, not for that circumstance, in that circumstance, that just strips every gear in his mind and throws him off of his game. Fourth benefit, causes miracles. Gratitude is the source of miracles. Why? Because thanking in faith is thanking God in advance. Now listen, when God does something for me and I thank him after it happened, that is gratitude, that is appreciation. When I thank God for an answer to prayer before I get it, that's called faith. Faith is thanking God in advance. In other words, the Bible, in the book of Mark, Jesus says, when you pray, believe that you have received it and you shall have it. Well, what does that mean? That I've got to believe it in order to get it? It's called faith. If you wait until after you've got it to thank God, that's called gratitude. But if you do it beforehand, that is developing your faith. And when you start doing this, you're moving to that new level of maturity. You're sending your roots down deeper into that flowing river. And I invite you on this radical journey because we need radical change. This journey of deeper Christian roots. Radical. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we pray that we honored you on this Lord's Day with our worship. And we want to honor you this week. We want to start every day with gratitude. We don't want our feet touching the ground without saying thank you, God. We want to build relationships. We want to get closer to others. We want to be grateful for them. This will draw us closer to each other as well as closer to you, Father. Lord, you know the tough times we're going through. And we are going to thank you just like Habakkuk did. Even though everything goes wrong, I will still thank you. We want to develop our faith and our trust, believing that you know what's best and that we don't. We want to serve other people this week by raising their value, by appreciating them. And Lord, we want your life and us to be that witness to others, to show that truth of God in a winsome fashion. We want to express gratitude to people in our city, wherever we're working, we're playing, we're living. Make a difference through us. Make a radical difference. Because it's only through you and in your name that we pray.